The Zone with Jason Anderson.
The horn just blew. Can I get it? Does that mean I'm done?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I will head out to practice facilities when the coordinators and Kelsey get to the podium. We'll hear from Dave Tobe, Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo, and also Travis Kelsey. Good morning. Is it still morning?
Probably going to be afternoon.
Is it still morning? I don't know.
Haven't started yet.
I don't know. It all runs together. Go ahead. I don't really have anything for you. Just go ahead.
You know, happy with how the defense played this week, but that'll open it up.
But yeah, that's all I got. Just go ahead. Fire away. So we'll hear from them. Coming up here in just a little bit. Also, you know, Kelsey podcast that was dropped yesterday, and good stuff. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, but really entertaining stuff there. We've got about three or four other clips that we were planning on playing, and we may still get into to that. We'll just depend on what Kelsey says today at the podium. He may say some of the things that he said in the podcast yesterday that we'll just simply hear live. We'll do that. And coming up at 1 o'clock, we got Sports or Leisure that we will get into. It's presented by Johnny's Tavern. $25 we give away to Johnny's Tavern. If you get Sports or Leisure right, get a sports question, get a leisure question, you win. There will be a Chiefs v. Brady category on the sports side.
Ooh,
let people know that. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a number of questions about Chiefs versus Brady. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions there about specifically games in which the Chiefs matched up, faced off against Brady, or stats that were accumulated in said contests versus a Brady quarterbacked team. So we've got that category.
Along those lines, I do have a report following an earlier story that The Zone has been on today, right?
Yes.
Sports Radio 810 WHB. I have not been able to pinpoint a halftime performer, but Melissa Etheridge sang the national anthem before the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and Patriots.
Okay.
The Chiefs eventually lost. So not quite the smoking gun of the weekend of the Applebee's guy, but Melissa Etheridge, I got to be honest.
She's a big Chiefs fan, though.
I know.
Big Chiefs fan.
But I think she's got to consider what her role in that game was. Yeah. Just saying that that's something to keep an eye on.
Ronald Jones is still out sick today, so that's unfortunate. So we'll see, you know, if he returns tomorrow or if he's active. Probably one more week of being inactive. So probably go in game number 4 with the same running backs you've been going into the games with having 3 running backs active.
I thought Kent made a good point also. I know you personally hate Isaiah Pacheco in a way that I can't fully understand, maybe spurred on by your love of Jerick McKinnon. But if it's not going to be more Ronald Jones, I would like to see Pacheco get more touches in the offense.
Here's Dave Tope.
But one's turf, a possibility, one's grass. You have a kicker you're kind of trying to work with. How do you do all that? Because I know you're, for detail, I mean, you've even gone to the Royals when there could be dirt there, so I know the turf is very important.
That's a good question.
How do you prepare when you aren't quite sure which kind of field you're going to be on?
We're preparing for the grass right now. I'd be surprised if they move the game, you know. I mean, from everything that I'm hearing, but I don't, you know, I'm not in the know, but just rumors. So we're ready for the grass. If it's turf, it's turf. We'll be fine. It's not going to have an effect on Butker or the other kicker, any which one it is. So it doesn't really matter.
Do you have a feel for Butker?
Yeah, he had a real good day yesterday. You know, he came out and he kicked, and then the other kid did well too. So, you know, we still got to wait. See, he's a little sore today, so we're not going to kick him today. You know, we're trying to get him ready for the game. So we're just going to listen to the trainers and whatever they say, we're going to do it. And it's going to come down right to the end until we have to make that decision who's going to be up and down.
So you're not less optimistic about him now than you were this time yesterday, even though he's not
practicing? I'm not less optimistic, no. It's a normal hit. I mean, he hasn't done anything, you know, as far as kicking, but as much kicking as we did yesterday than he, you know, for a while now. So that's why he's sore.
Okay.
You know, it's not unusual for him to be sore from the workout we did yesterday.
What tells you if you need to go with Matthew Wright that he'll do?
Feedback from Butker. We might kick him again before Sunday. We'll test him again. But the other kid's doing well.
No, you know, I mean, if you need to kick with Matthew Wright in the game.
If we need to kick with him, yep.
What tells you
that he can do it?
You could trust him maybe more than
Well, we brought two guys in to work out. He was the one that was better. Either of the two guys that we brought in were at the other man, the other six men that we brought in the week 2 weeks before. These are two different players that had experience, you know, game experience, more game experience. And Matt did a real good job in his workout. He had a great workout yesterday.
I know it worked well with in game one with Reed, but was there any thought to the process of having him kick? And would you do so this
time? He's strictly an emergency guy. You know, he can kick off. We feel comfortable that he can kick off if we need it. But as far as a field goal kicker, it's the operation. It's the amount of percentages that he would make if kicks is lower than a NFL kicker that gets paid to do it. Okay,
you talk about emergency situation.
Emergency, like if
I get that. No,
total emergency.
My follow-up question was, you obviously had Scott Moore returning kicks thus far, and I don't think he's done it in his career. Is there any thought process to, if McColl is healthy, putting him back there?
Yeah, if McColl's ready to go, he's a possibility. But Sky is a guy that I really believe will be a good punt returner. We're sticking with Sky. We like Sky. If you noticed, he finished with a 12-yard return. He wants to do it. He's not hiding from it. I mean, he wants to be the guy. So he made a mistake. Mistakes happen with young players. And coach. Sticks with guys. I stick with guys. You know, they make mistakes. We're coaches. We got to get them better. I mean, that's our job. and I really believe that he is going to be a really good punt returner in this league.
What about Pacheco? Were you inclined to stick with him as well?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, Pacheco slipped. He made a hard cut and he slipped and fell. Other than that, we got to block it up better on those other returns. We were close. If you go back and look at the tape and really look at it, you'll see it. There was a lot of good things that happened in that game. Tommy Townsend had an excellent game, which we're real proud of him that he's also named AFC Player of the Week. Of the month. So it's pretty impressive.
What was just the frustrations of the several things that didn't go right?
Well, I mean, sometimes, bad plays happen. You have to try to come back and make another good play. It didn't really happen for us. We weren't able to get over the top and have a good play, a positive play, besides the punts that happened there, which was real good. We just didn't get a good kick return, didn't get a good punt return. We got the 12-yarder, but, and then obviously the fake field goal didn't work, we tried to make a play.
And it feels like it kind of snowballs on you at a certain point. I mean, is that...
It snowballs, but we got
it in a way, but it also...
Yeah, the run unrelated, it was a rare game. It's something that obviously we don't want to have happen, obviously, but usually a bad play, you can follow it up with some good plays. We've done that before in the playoffs. So we had two bad plays, and we came back and made three great plays. That's what we were expecting. Yeah. The thing about our guys, there's a lot of pride in that room, and I know they're going to respond the right way.
Dave, the fake field goal, how much of that had to do with, hey, we think this play can work, and how much of it was?
Most of it was.
Didn't trust the kicker.
No, most of it had nothing. It had a little bit to do with that, but not a lot. I mean, that's all part of it. But the situation, where the ball was on the hash, what kind of look we had, we felt like there was something that we could get.
The fact that it was 11 to go, you thought that added to the element of surprise, right?
Sure, that all adds to it.
Call that, you expected it to be a wider.
There's a lot of study that goes into a fakes. I'm not a big fake. I don't run fakes, just like crazy, this every game. There's a lot of thought that goes into a lot of tape watch. We felt like we could get it, and if he would have gotten the ball earlier, he might have had a shot. If the ball would have came right out of Tommy's hand, we might have had it. I needed to do a better job of coaching the old line that they don't go downfield. I mean, that was something that the detail that was my fault, and the calling it is my fault. I'll take full responsibility for both of those. But, when we call one, it's because there's a lot of study involved. It's not just something that gets called for the situation in the game.
Does the study include, you've been doing this for a long time and frankly had a lot of success at it. You had a lot of success in returning kicks, but when you study the analytics, are maybe kind of tilting towards don't bring it out. You guys bring it out from deep. Maybe fair catch everything.
We bring it out from deep in preseason.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure. But is has the game evolved to where the coverages are so good and the athletes are so good that it's getting harder to
It's getting harder. There is no question it's getting harder. Because I've lived through it. You know, I had Devin Hester when the coverage guys were used to be big old linemen covering down, you know, D linemen. There's nobody doing that anymore. I mean, they're all fast guys that can tackle in space. So, I mean, Devin changed the game. And I've seen this, the whole thing change. And you're right. It has changed, you know, and you have to seriously think about all those factors every week. But there was a situation where we felt like we can get it.
When you watched the fake, Dave, was there anything that the Colts did well?
Yes. Sometimes 58. I can't remember his number, but 58. He was on point. He noticed it right away, and you know he kind of moved outside, so he got better leverage, and that's why Tommy didn't throw the ball right away. He felt like he was too tight to throw it. It kind of pulled up. In practice, we practiced him. It wasn't as tight, so it was something that Tommy didn't see. You know, so he hesitated for a second. And he's not a quarterback, but he's pretty darn good for a punter. You know, he does a good job there, but. You know, little things like that. Those are details that's my responsibility that I have to cover. You know, we just didn't practice that situation.
Is he taught in that situation? Like, if the coverage is tight, you certainly don't want to pick six.
Yeah, if the guy falls down and he's rolling out, he's got to run. He's got to try to do something with it. So, I mean, obviously, we told him that. But, you know.
And you talk about getting more difficult to get a big return these days because how teams are covering. At what point?
And kickers as well. Their kickers are better. They're moving the ball.
Yeah. Okay. At what point does it make more sense to get a guy who's maybe a good decision maker and a sure-handed guy, as opposed to a game breaker type of guy who maybe is a little up and down in that regard?
You want both. I mean, you really want both. So, I mean, I'm not a conservative guy. I'm an aggressive play caller. I'm an aggressive with. You know, with returns, we're going to come out when it's close to the goal line. We're going to do that. We're going to take shots on goal. And I think that works to our advantage. You know, teams know that we're going to be aggressive, and that's the way we're always going to be as long as I'm here.
What have the conversations with Scott been like as far as just his confidence and using it as?
Yeah, that's a big thing. Confidence is huge. And, you know, the fact that he came, you know, he was right there every time we were getting ready to punt, he was standing right next to me, couldn't wait. I mean, they were getting ready to punt, he was ready to go back in. So that tells me a lot. And then he was able to catch, you know, that last one and get 12 yards. And then practice was great all week. You know, we have confidence in him. He's a young player who's going to get better and better.
Couple more, Sam.
I just want to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding something. When you said you took responsibility for the play call, do you have the freedom of the decision to call?
I recommend it to Coach. Okay. Coach. I mean, that's on me. That's the way I look at it. Coach will take responsibility for everything, yeah. Right? But I'm telling you right now. I mean, I can take full blame on this one. All right.
So Scott, I don't think we spoke about the game, but. What was his reasoning with the no plan? Was it the sunlight? Because I know what the roof
no,
was.
No, the roof and that had nothing. The thing being open had nothing to do with it. It was just a left-footed punter in a live situation. We don't have a left-footed punter that we practice all the time. I'm not trying to make all excuses for him, but it was a little bit of a bad ball read, and it got it kind of turned away from him a little bit at late. He made the fair catch. Now it's just him and the ball. He's got to know that. There's nobody else on the field, just him and the ball. And that's the mentality he's got to have.
And obviously, it was his first time doing it. He hasn't returned to much. He probably knows people back at home are like, because, you know, where the ball is, I bet he score. What do you say to him when he comes back to the sideline to make sure that he's...
Well, you don't want to crush his confidence. Yeah. You know, I mean, so you're going to pick him up. And guys, and our team does a good job with that. You know, we have great leadership. It wasn't like we were going to lose the game right there at that point. I mean, you know, it ended up – those kind of plays, when you lose a game, end up being magnified a lot more bigger than what they were. I mean, that was a big play, huge play in that game. We gave him confidence. But our guys picked him up. When he came to the sideline, they were all picking him up.
Go ahead, Serenity.
Dave, do you have a hard and fast rule on where don't catch beyond this?
No, we don't.
Yeah,
because here's why we've talked about this before, but the punters are so good now. You know, when that they can land the ball on the five, and that thing could spin back, you know, or it could spin, you know, actually just dribble down and get on the one. You know, so it's not a steadfast rule now anymore because the punters are so good. It's hang time, and guys covering you. You know, we want to try to either try to steal it or we want to try to make a fair catch, even if it's on the eight or nine. You're better off playing offense there than you are on the one.
So is it something that varies, like, hey, this guy's really good?
Yes. Oh, yeah, sure. So that's game to game.
There is an edict when you go out there for each game.
No question. No question.
Yeah, I saw you on the sideline right before the opening kickoff in Indianapolis. You were talking to Brian Cook. You just trying to calm him down after what happened?
He had a great game last week. So, I mean, he's to be commended for that because he, you know, had some blunders in that other game, and then he came back, and he was one of our best guys last week. He played great.
Do you remember talking to him before the game?
No, not really. I can't remember.
Last one, Karen.
Coach, just the honor for Tommy Townsend. How has he progressed, and why was this month, you know, he was honored for? What is he doing that is really progressing him along?
His consistency is really good. Like, you've seen some of his bombs before. Like, he'll hit a bomb and then maybe not a great punt, and then his averages are not good. He's consistently putting good hang time, deep balls out there, and our coverage is getting down there, and we're covering them for him, and it's working well right now. But it's way early. I mean, it's way early. We only got 3 games in, and he's got to be consistent throughout the rest of the year to be better than he was last year.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right, there's Dave Tobe. That was a much longer press conference than is typical with Dave Tobe. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB Kansas City, and a lot of ground covered with that. The Sky Moore punts, the roof, the confidence in him, Pacheco returning kicks, when you return, when you don't return. What would you rather have back there? A sure-handed guy, explosive, all of that stuff. So here's Steve Spagnuolo.
On to the next one. I don't have. I'll just open up for questions. We just got done with our walkthrough, and we're anxious to get out there and do some third down today.
Cody, are you surprised at all with how your defense is playing first 3 games? Or this is what you expect?
Listen, I'm always of the mindset that we can play better, so I'd like to see us do some things, but I'd like to see us finish that game better and actually finish all the games better, because if I go back to all 3 of them, we gave up a touchdown in Arizona at the end, didn't mean much. The one against the Chargers did mean something. You know, we're onside kick away from being back out there again, and certainly we wanted to play better at the end of this game. I mean, there's a lot of good things in there before that, but we're going to be hard on each other, and that would be the thing I'd be pointing to.
You had said going back to OTAs, you were kind of racing the clock to get everything ready for the regular season. Now, through 3 games, you feel like you guys are maybe ahead of that schedule, on schedule, behind schedule?
It's hard for me to – listen, I always want to be at gear 10 on day 1, you know. But I'm realistic enough to know that this, in this league, it, you know, it takes a little time. I've always said that it takes the first quarter of the season to figure out what you have in players and where you should put them. We got a couple 3 pieces missing. You know, we got to get Trent back and Mike Dana, right? Willie's not here right now, so we want to get those pieces back in there. But the guys that have stepped up have done a nice job.
You see Blake a little more, I think, against Andy than you normally do. Was that the game plan, or was it just because, hey, this is working well?
Yeah, I mean, we blitzed early and had some success, and we were just kind of we wanted to attack that old line a little bit, and some of the things they had or had not done we had seen, and most of them worked out pretty good.
Coach, every year I ask you about Tom Brady. And here you go again.
Maybe you didn't have to ask me last year because we didn't play.
That's right. Yeah. But every time you play, I ask you about Tom Brady. The guy keeps getting older, but he still keeps producing. So any let up in anything you see with this
guy? We were talking about it. I mean, we've played other quarterbacks that have been in the league a long time. I'm picking my words carefully here. And normally you'd see a drop off in arm strength, or they don't throw it to the sideline, and, you know, he can pack it in, et cetera, et cetera. Not so with Tom. I think he's throwing the ball as good as he ever has. He's accurate as he ever has been. And he's still throwing the ball deep. I don't see any, and he's always been a sit in the pocket, on the spot, relied on his arm strength. That hasn't changed. It's not like he ever relied on, you know, being a guy that got out of the pocket. So he's the same threat he's always been, in my opinion.
So the NFL just announced that the game will be played in Tampa. Now that you know where you're going, how much can you now focus on the details as opposed to wondering where you're playing?
Yeah, we never had that in our mind, to be honest with you. Coach Reed, I'm sure, hit it. We just want to line up and play. The way I look at it is we were going to get on a plane no matter what. You know, in this league, you get on the plane, and wherever you land, you go play the game. So it really didn't. I don't think our guys had that on their mind, to be honest with you.
To follow up on what he asked about the blitz and trying to phrase it without asking you to give away scheme stuff, but does this week to week from the Colts to Tom Brady sort of indicate just how much you sometimes have to change things up from week to week? I mean, Tom's not typically a guy you can bring a delayed linebacker.
Yeah. Listen, it's always week to week depending on the team you're playing, and certainly the quarterback's the first guy, right? What can he do, can't do, and design your game plan around that. So it will be week to week. I mean, by nature, it'd be nice to always bring a lot of pressure. I just think it challenges all lines and quarterbacks, but he's one of those guys that figures it out pretty quick. So you got to pick your spots.
What's the biggest challenge that you're going to face him? Obviously, the last time you played him in the Super Bowl, he had Antonio Brown, he had Gronkowski.
Yeah.
They'll be bringing Mike Evans back. I think this guy may or may not be playing this game. So what type of challenge differently? Because he's someone that gets the ball out within, you know, 2 seconds.
He hit the nail on the head. I mean, it doesn't matter who he's throwing to. He gets it out really quick, so it makes it hard to get him off the spot, which is what everybody says they want to do to Tom Brady, right? And I'll tell you what, they still got players out there that obviously Mike's coming back, right? Mike Evans. And I think the tight end's really good. I think Cole Beasley will continue to be what he is. He's only was there a week, and the very first pass that he threw to him was right on target. They just looked natural there together. So I think he's got plenty of weapons. It's going to be, like we talked about it in the meeting, it's going to be about, first we're going to stop the run game, because, you know, I don't want to forget about that. Because Tom Brady is smart enough to take what you give him, and, you know, he'll keep the big horse cranking. And then the other part of it is try to affect his targets, and that's what we try to do.
Steve, have you come to learn what Chris Jones said, and whether you have or haven't, what's your message to him or lesson?
Yeah, I never went down that road. I mean, that's the head coach's area. The way I look at it is we all learn from it. And I think that's what Chris said. I thought Chris handled it really good. And then we move on. There's not much more we can do about it now. I mean,
the lesson is, though, don't talk.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a heated, emotional game, right? But, I mean, that would be what I would take from it, you know.
How did you evaluate Darius Harris when you came out looking a little bit better?
I'm glad you brought him up. I thought he did a really nice job. I mean, I'm really happy for him and the years he's been here, and it's been like this. And when he gets an opportunity to go out there, and he knows he's going to play 60-some-odd plays in the game. And I thought he played real effective. I can only think of one play where I think he could have been better on. And he works really well with Nick. Like, they're both really intelligent players, so they work really well together.
I know he's played 40-some in the past, but that's been a couple of years. Did you learn anything?
You talk about Darius?
Yeah. Did you learn anything about him specifically on Sunday?
I'll tell you, I'd say no only in that because I think he's been on an uphill trajectory since this whole training camp off season. I just have seen a different man. Even when he came back, working out, the whole thing, it's just, he just looks, he was different before, and I kind of expected him to go in there and do a good job, and he did. He really did.
Steve, on the subject of the blitz that we're talking about, the trend of the league, at least last year, I don't know where we are, just 3 games in, but was that less and less blitz, right? Dropping 8 even, just coming over.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, are you the changeup to everybody else's fastball when you do that? Is that something you take into account when you're scheming that the rest of the league is coming with less and dropping?
Yeah, I don't get into league trends, to be quite honest with you. I just sometimes you can fall in a trap there. I think it's more about the guys you have, what you can or can't do, and then the people you're going against. I don't know. I haven't studied it either. But part of it's probably because of these quarterbacks get it out fast, and they're all athletic. A lot of them nowadays, when you bring people and can get a free runner, they make you miss because they're so. You can think of all those quarterbacks I'm talking about, right? So maybe that's got people backing off a little bit.
How do you feel about your pass rush when you're not blitzing? When you're...
We've got guys. I thought Frank had a really good game. I thought Frank did some things power-wise that I hadn't seen in a while, and I told him that. I think he's really effective when he does that. And Chris, you know, Chris was putting heat on guys. I just think it's where it needs to be. It's got to get better and better. We got to get better at everything.
Coach.
But not a weakness in any way.
Is the response, like after the penalty, you guys still had a chance to stop it. Is that the disappointment factor? And how hard is it for a group of guys to put that part away and say, we still have
Yeah, that's part of the lesson, right? I mean, so, okay, it was disappointing. It was a third and whatever, and we had them backed up. They were going to punt the whole thing. And then everybody in their mind is, great, we stopped them. And, okay, it changed. Well, there's 428 on the board, 438 of what it was, and we're up by 4. It's still our job to seal the game. I mean, they could have... I don't know. Anything could have happened. They could have got the ball right back. We would have been in the same situation. I mean, we were probably going to go, might have gone back out there trying to protect the 4-point lead anyway. And that's part of the job of the defense to stop. That was the disappointing. I thought it was a really good performance, right, for 3.5 quarters. And then to have not done that at the end, that was the biggest disappointment. So we're in here grinding away trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Coach,
Coach, you had the last couple of seasons, Terrell Suggs, you know, Melvin Ingram, and now you've got Carlos Dunlap coming in. Talk about his impact and what he's kind of done.
Yeah.
Clark and how he had a good game.
Yeah, Carlos did a really nice job, and I think Carlos, you know, the whole scheme's new to him, but he's a pro. I watch him in our unit meetings, and not only does he take notes and he's cerebral, but he asks questions and he comes up with really good points, and he's not afraid to chime in and say, you know, what about this? He's really good that way, and he's made some really important plays for us. I mean, that sack fumble he had was just a relentless pass rush, and he's long, you know, so we're real glad we have him. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Okay, appreciate it. Yep. Yeah.
Good game from Darius Harris and Carlos Dunlap. A good game from him as well. So a lot of stuff covered, a lot of ground covered there with Steve Spagnuolo, who is excited about his defense. But a good point, he mentioned all three games they haven't finished. The Cardinals, they got some late points. Chargers got late points, and obviously the Colts with late points. Eric Bieniemy is going to be at the podium right now.
First of all, let me start this off real quick. I just wanted to say this to the people out in Florida. Sending prayers to the families in that region. As a person who was born and grew up there as a little kid, and watching my family have to go through what they had to go through with Katrina, I'm very sensitive to what's taking place there. I'm just hoping and praying that all the rescue and recovery efforts are going as planned. Praying for those families for resiliency. Moving forward, okay, and kind of going backwards, but congrats to the Colts, okay? They did everything they needed to do. We got exactly what we deserved. We got our ass kicked. We didn't play very well. We didn't coach very well. We're a much better staff, and we're a much better team than what we displayed. I expect our guys to handle their business this week in practice. I thought yesterday we came out and practiced with a purpose. We had some intent behind what we were doing. And sometimes you need a little bit of humility to get you focused and going in the right direction. So with that said, I'm all ears.
Coach, what can you tell us what the exchange with Patrick was like, what you were trying to say to him at the end of the half, and maybe what he was in words that are okay to say
back? Here's the thing. So obviously we have a protocol. We're talking through the headsets. Here's what I love about Pat. Pat is a competitor. You guys have heard what I've said in the past about it. You want them that way. That's how you want them. You want to finish every drive in the end zone with a score. At that particular time as a staff, we decided, you know what? We're getting the ball, you know, to start the second half off. So we just want to take a knee. So obviously, you know, Pat being the competitor that he was, that he is, you know, he wasn't ready to hear that. But at that particular time, I was just trying to calm the storm. Y'all know who I am. You guys have seen me erupt. So if it would have been a true eruption, I think you guys would have recognized that. But after that, that was it.
Coach, you have to coach that position different. Like, I know, like, the running back, picking up a blitzing linebacker is a physical and probably brings it. You need an emotion to do that. It's more of a cerebral position with the quarterback. Do you have to coach Pat or any quarterback differently than you would say a running back or a linebacker?
No, I think you coach the individuals different because everybody's different. Everybody can't handle certain things or everybody's built differently. So you just want to make sure that you know exactly which buttons that you can push with certain people. And so that's the beauty about being a coach is making sure that you know the environment of everybody that there is on your team. And that's, I mean, we spend a lot of intimate time together. So, and I encourage all our coaches to make sure that we know the people, because if you know the people, okay, you can get great production out of the players.
Is he afraid to be coached hard? Because, like, you know, you get this thing where right now social media, there's one former player who has something, it seems to have something against you, talks about the way that you seem to coach that players don't like. But everybody else seems to love you. So is it a manner in which how you talk to a particular player, how you talk to players, or can they not take the tough coaching from you?
Yes, you can coach players hard, okay? And certain players deserve to be coached hard. But one thing that you got to understand is different situations and how you handle and how you react. So as far as coaching, we're coaches. Our job is to make sure that our players are doing exactly what we want them to do. All right. On top of that, we've been doing this for a long time. So if there's an issue, we can have that discussion at the appropriate time. So, and then when it's all said and done with, too, I think that's getting left out of this conversation. The head man has 51% of the vote. So whenever the head man say, hey, this is what we're going to do, then that's what we're going to do.
Eric, were you just relaying a message that Andy had made that decision? Are you the middleman in that conversation, I guess?
And, we as a staff made that decision. So, and you got to understand, when I'm on the headsets with everyone, we're talking about, hey, you know what, let's just get out of this half. So we all decided as a staff to make sure, let's just get out of here. Let's go regroup. Let's make sure that we can get our guys focused and come out and play.
I guess Eric, the question is, because Patrick starts that conversation with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Started with you.
Well, he's always going to talk to me because I'm in direct communication with him.
And then, like I said, he started that conversation. Would you prefer that conversation started in the locker, halftime locker room?
The conversation happened. One thing you guys got to notice and notice about me, I have no problems with players getting emotional and feeling how they feel, okay? I embrace that. I embrace the energy and the emotion that they bring, because the thing that you don't want to do is take that away. Now, could it be handled a little bit differently professionally? Yes. But in that heat in the moment, you want your guys to be guys that want to go out and be the very best, who wants to come away victorious at any means necessary. So the exchange that we had, who cares? it really doesn't matter. Because when it's all said and done with, we gonna talk a minute or two later and talk about exactly what we need to do. And so there is no personal issues. You know, you just keep it moving forward.
And what you're saying, it sounds like you're saying it wasn't something needed to be talked about in any way later.
Not at all. I'm sure if you watch film, you guys will see emotional exchanges every weekend that take place.
Yeah.
I happen to be an emotional guy.
You mentioned how you have that man at 51% of the vote here, Andy. How often would you say that maybe you get the reins and you get 51% of the play calling, if at all, and how much do you relish those opportunities?
Well, sometimes I get 51%. Sometimes I might get 52%. But then you got to understand, if I got 52%, the head man still has that 48%, and he might pull rank at times. So, but you guys got to understand, we have a great line of communication. We pride ourselves on doing a great job. Obviously, that result has nothing to do with what took place. We lost that game because our guys wasn't ready. And because our guys wasn't ready, that falls on us as a coaching staff. So our job is to make sure that our guys understand the importance of taking care of the little things. And when you got a lot of young players and you got a new environment, it's our duty not to take that moment for granted, okay? So not only was it a great lesson for our players, it was also a great humbling experience for us. And so we got to make sure that we're on top of everything, just like we have been in the past. But I'll go backwards to say this. Sometimes you need a little humility in life to get you focused on the direction which you need to head.
Well, Coach, yeah. Talking about humility, last time you played Tampa, as you told me privately, they kicked you all's ass in the Super Bowl. That being the case, how focused are you all, or how prepared do you have you all going up against the defense? Number one in the league, Todd Bowles. I mean, talk about this upcoming game and what you're going to be facing.
Todd Bowles does an outstanding job. Obviously, he's been in this league for a long time. He's been a great defensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach / defensive coordinator. He has a great staff. And guess what? They're doing a hell of a job on defense. So when you turn on the tape, our guys know you got to line up and play. It's going to be one of those games. It's going to be a 60-minute dogfight, and may the best team win.
Coach, some of the younger players said they noticed just a little bit more intensity, and the veterans have talked to them about, hey, they kicked us our butts in the Super Bowl. We haven't forgot. We're looking forward to this opportunity. The youngsters are saying they feel that. But you're also looking at a team that their game ended the wrong way, too. They're coming off frustration. So you got two gladiators coming together who are off games they weren't happy about, having a rematch on the biggest stage. So what are you expecting in this?
Well, here's the thing, and I say this, and I say this respectfully and humbly, okay? I don't care what took place with them. The only thing I know, we got this dirt on our shoulders. And the only way that we can get this dirt off our shoulders is to make sure when we come to work every single day, We're going to be the best player in that training room as far as getting my mind, body, and soul ready to go play a physical football game. We're in that classroom. It's my job to make sure I'm presenting the right information and getting them ready and prepared to have a complete understanding of what we're expecting. As a player, I want our players to make sure they're detailing all the notes. And then when it's time to practice, we're not taking anything for granted. And when it's all said and done, we're putting the right effort, the right attitude and determined mindset on tape that if we go out and do everything that we're capable of doing, you know what? We got a chance. We'll give ourselves a chance to have a chance.
Coach, do you think there's some offensive growing pains, or do you just feel like last week was maybe a lack of execution like you had hoped for against the Colts?
No, I'll just say this. The Colts kicked our ass, and we got exactly what we deserved. And kudos to the Colts. They did exactly what they needed to do. Just like you guys know this because you guys have been working in this profession for a long time. You're just not good enough to think that you can just show up and win. That's the lesson in all of it. So if you want to be great, you have to learn how to take care of business every single day. And as a staff, it's our job to make sure that our players are staying on top of that. But on top of that, we got to make sure we're holding each other accountable and we're holding our players accountable, because indirectly, we all impact each other's lives. So we got to make sure that we're staying on top of the little things to help us moving forward.
Last two, Adam and Serena.
Eric, you said a minute ago, sometimes you need a little humility to get your focus back. Was that a problem last week, maybe? Do you feel like guys maybe weren't focused enough? And this is sort of maybe getting them tunneled in, if you will?
No, I felt going into the game we were focused. But obviously we didn't have the attention, the details that was needed to go out and execute, to give ourselves a chance to come away with a victory, because there was a lot of mistakes made. And I don't place all that blame on the players. That's on us as a coaches, because as a staff, because we got to make sure that they're ready. And then our great players got to stand up and make plays. We have to make sure that we're doing all the little necessary things that's going to help us to be the best team that we can be on Sundays. And I'll say this as well. Our leaders will continue to lead. They know exactly what took place. Not a lot has to be said from us as a staff, because you can hear it in the small circles and the conversations that are taking place.
Sorry to backtrack. I tried to get this in at the time. You, when you were talking about the Patrick, you know, thing, you said, at the end of the day, who cares?
Yes.
And I get that point, but you also interviewed for jobs. Do owners care? When you've had those conversations, is relationship with not just players, but franchise quarterbacks?
You know what? That's a great question for the owners.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, there you go at the end there. It's a great question for the owners.
We might have gotten a half dozen Eric Bieniemy laughs. The over was a huge one.
He's still laughing.
Beard says he's still laughing right now.
But that counts as one, though. Is that one long extended laugh? But I count it. We got five.
A lot of laughter.
So we got five laughs. We got three all say thises. We got three all said and dones and one hell of a today. We also got a few kicked our asses.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end there, to me, was one of the main takeaways when he said, we got our ass kicked, we got exactly what we deserved, and you got to understand you're not good enough to think you can just show up and win in this league. Woof. Travis Kelce. Actually, Tommy Townsend.
With my leg swing, and, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, like really starting to like pan out and, you know, start to, piece some things together with that. But, just that, and then, just, you know, the mental side, like going into the season, I just feel really good. You know, how I ended the year last year, just able to take some cues over from last season, you know, carry them over into this year.
What was kind of going through your mind on a big field goal, especially like Coach Toad said, that it didn't work out the way you guys were hoping as far as the coverage goes, and 58 was right there on the tight coverage.
Yeah.
What was kind of your focus on that play?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously I want to get the ball out as quick as I can, and I didn't do that, so, you know, that's kind of on me. So, like when I put the ball down, popped up to roll out, it looked like the linebacker was coming down a lot faster than he was. So I just kind of hesitated a little bit, and just got the ball out a little bit late. And then, yeah, you know, obviously every time you run a fake, you want it to go well. But, you know, unfortunately that wasn't the reality this time. So, yeah.
You have these moments in games sometimes where you have the punt and you get pretty fired up, and it seems like you're in the zone.
Yeah.
What do you think it takes for you to maybe reach that area?
I guess like the biggest thing is like just kind of like getting into a groove early. You know, you hit a couple balls really well early on in the game. Then, yeah, you just get this feeling like you just can't miss. Like the ball just looks huge. You drop it, the ball looks huge. So, that's always a great feeling. And that's something, you know, I'm always like striving for. And you know, a lot of it's just the preparation pregame. You know, just like walking the field and doing a lot of visualization and really just like, you know, just visualizing, you know, like how the ball is going to fly in the air and like in the stadium. And yeah, so it's just a lot of mental preparation.
So are you glad that you know where you're going to play? You know it's going to be grass. You know you guys are in Tampa. You don't have to think in the back of your mind about turf in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a decision for me to make.
But are you glad, though, that decision is made?
Yeah, I'm glad a decision's made, you know, just so, you know, I can start mentally preparing for, you know, where we're going to play, just because, you know, obviously Tampa, Minnesota are two completely different environments. But yeah, so I'm glad that a decision's made with that. But yeah, you know, my heart goes out to all the Floridians. You know, as a fellow Floridian, I got a bunch of friends down in Fort Myers and in that area. So yeah, just heart goes out to them.
How much do you think you've grown from the last time you played there, where it was probably maybe one of the worst games of your career in the Super Bowl? And just
thanks.
Sorry.
So,
but obviously, this is sort of a full circle moment for you. Just how much do you think you've grown from that game to where you were?
Yeah, I mean, an incredible amount. I mean, obviously, I was a young player, and that's no excuse. But you know, a lot of stuff goes into it, a lot of stuff that, you know, yeah, people don't see, a lot of stuff that goes into it. But, you know, obviously, when you go out and you play in big games, like, obviously, you want to play well. And, I mean, that's a couple years ago. Like, I don't think about that game ever. You know, I've moved on, I've grown, I've learned a lot from it. My preparation is completely different now from how it was then. So, that's just something that was in the past and something that happens. It's not something that I really think about. I've grown from it. I've moved on, and yeah, just trying to keep doing what I'm doing right now.
I don't know if the visualization part of that pregame is one of those new changes, but is there an example of, is this something I did pregame as a rookie versus what I do now, and
I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that goes on. I have my own personal mental cues and stuff like that, and like stuff that I don't really want to like share, just because it's sacred to me and what I do in my preparation. And same thing with Harrison. He's got a bunch of things that are sacred to him in his preparation that he wants to keep unique to him. And you know, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, we just want to keep some things to ourselves, and we don't want to you know, just like a magician, we don't want to tell about like all our tricks, whatever the saying is, you know. Yeah.
I know you guys practice, you know, different fakes, different plays throughout training camp and everything, but does it work that like, hey, you know, Dave had something on tape and all week it's like, we're going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a club that's in the bag, you guys practice it every week and we're going to go get it whenever, you know, maybe the situation feels like it?
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends.
Did you know going into that game, we're going to do this at some point?
Yeah, it just depends on the game. It depends on the situation. You know, we have different stuff up for, you know, different teams each week. And this was a fake that we'd been practicing specifically for Indianapolis. And yeah, we just saw some things on tape and it looked really good. And, yeah, unfortunately it didn't work out. Can't say that, I'm not a little bit upset about my, you know, my completion percentage, but it is what it is.
Matt, last one.
Hey, you've kicked in the stadium before, and certainly it doesn't sound like even with the game on, the weather's going to be great.
Mm.
What are kind of the intricacies, especially kicking in poor conditions, and in this stadium in particular?
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's a pretty open stadium, so it gets a little breezy. And, of course, like right there, you know, on the coast and right there on the bay, it definitely gets a little breezy. So it's one of those things, like I have, like, apps and stuff like that. Like, I check the wind and all that, like, going into the week just so I can, you know, kind of, like, plan on what I'm going to get and kind of see that through, just so, you know, when I step out on the field and I'm walking the field pregame, I'm not, you know, completely shocked by, you know, what's going on. But yeah, I mean, like I said, like a lot of the preparation comes pregame as well, just like, you know, going through doing my drops and, you know, having my mental cues, you know, set for that game of what I need to do and like how I need to be prepared based on, you know, the just like the weather, wind, all that stuff.
Great. Yeah. Thanks,
Matt. All right. There's Tommy Townsend. We'll hear from Creed Humphrey. No Kelce today. So they have traded out Travis Kelce for Tommy Townsend and Creed Humphrey at the podium. Not the great trade.
Two for one. I mean, you know.
It is a two for one.
What are you complaining about?
Yeah, that's true.
That's Travis Kelce.
We will hear from Creed Humphrey here very soon. Tommy Townsend, last time you played there was the worst game of your career. Thanks. Here's Creed Humphrey.
Super Bowl a couple years ago, but obviously the offensive line was the storyline of that game. I'm just wondering if you can sense from the guys who were here what having the opportunity to play Tampa again means to them.
Yeah, you know, I think we're looking towards this game just like any other game. You know, we have a goal that we want to achieve, and that's to win this game. So I think everybody's, you know, pretty fired up about that. Obviously, not too many of the guys are still here from that year, but the guys that are here, you know, we've talked about it and everything, and, you know, everybody's just kind of ready to go.
Creed, I have to ask you about Shaq Barrett's comments. We kind of noted that they feel like they can dominate and have a, quote, coming out party. When you guys hear something like that, how much is that motivating even more for us?
Yeah, you know, I don't really pay attention to any of that type of stuff. You know, I come in and do my job here, and that's what I'm focused on. So, you know, for me, it's just coming in, making sure I do my job and go out and execute on Sunday.
How about your teammates? Any of them, does that get them going? Is it a motivator for any of the other guys?
Not really. We haven't talked about it or anything. You know, we're just focused on the game, focused on executing, so that's what we're going to do. So.
So what about this defense? You know, Todd Bowles is known for great defense, and we've been talking about the layers they have, the line and everything else. What are you looking at? What catches your attention when you look at them?
Yeah, really a mixture of talent and scheme. You know, they have a good defense for sure. Very talented players, whether that's the D-line, the linebackers, the secondary. They have talented players, you know, all throughout. And, you know, their DC does a great job with their schemes, too. So it's going to be a tough challenge for us. But we're excited to get after it.
Derek Bainu was pretty blunt when he was in here. You know, he said, you guys got your asses kicked. Is that a motivating factor this week? I mean, do you feel, is there a greater intensity, especially as coaches are demanding from you this week?
Yeah, you know, I think anytime you lose a game like that, you're ready to get that taste out of your mouth. So, you know, everybody's been... We've had a really good week of practice so far. Everybody's been fired up and really focused and just ready to go out there and, you know, try to change that and, you know, get back to winning and things like that. So everybody's really motivated right now. Everybody's executing well in practice, and we're practicing with intent, which is very good right now. So,
are there things that you learned from that Colts game, though, especially in pass protection, that you feel like you've got to apply towards Tampa?
Yeah, you know, they do. Their schemes aren't really too similar. But for us, you know, it's just about executing. That's what it is for us. So we're going to go out there and making sure we execute better this week.
Creed, you know, I don't think you talk about Eric Bieniemy saying, you know, you got your ass kicked and everything. It was a tight game. Like, it seemed like everything could go wrong for you guys on both sides of the ball. Special teams did. And you're still sitting there up four. Do you take anything from that, or does it make it more painful, or is that stuff you can build on that, you know, it really was kind of an avalanche of, you know, mistakes and problems. You were still in position to win the game.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of shows this team what we're capable of whenever we're doing things the right way and really, you know, executing our job well on any given Sunday. It kind of shows us what we could do and what we can be. So I think we took from that for sure, and we're going to, you know, go out there and, you know, try to turn it around and get a, you know, different result this week.
And I know it's an emotional game, and based upon our conversations with you, I assume you're not the most conversational guy on the field, but is there kind of a code of the road of what you can and can't say if the refs are around? I'm obviously alluding to Chris Jones got a penalty, and a lot of people are upset. Like, hey, it's just talk. I mean, it's an emotional game. Guys talk. Is there kind of a code of conduct, like this is the magic word that'll set it off, or...
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't really talk out there at all whenever I'm out there. You know, I kind of just do my job, so I don't really know. But, yeah, you'd probably have to ask somebody else.
Okay.
Creed, you're always going to be tied to Nick Bolton because you guys were part of the second draft. I just wonder, from your vantage point, what makes Nick exceptional?
Yeah, I mean, Nick is a very talented player. He's awesome to watch. And, you know, I think it's a mixture of things. You know, his instincts are extremely good. He's very instinctual. Then you pair that with, you know, how he studies, you know, how he sees the field, kind of being able to see what's coming before it comes, things like that. You know, it helps him a lot. And I mean, he's a great player.
Creed, are you noticing that, even if you can't get into specifics, just defensive linemen treating you differently this year after a full year of tape?
Not really, no. They haven't really treated me any different. You know, they're going to go out there and they're going to do their scheme. They're going to do what they're coached to do every week. So for us, it's our job to handle that.
Anybody else? Thanks, Creed.
Thank you.
All right, there's Creed Humphrey along with Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe, Steve Spagnuolo, and Tommy Townsend. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Hear from some sound from the locker room. I believe Chris Jones talked with Todd Lebo. So he was non-injury related, absent from practice yesterday, and talked today in the locker room. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from him next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You're lesser than me because you're not in the media.
Weekdays from 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Bah! All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hear from Chris Jones here in just a second. Big shout out to Nick and Jake's. A little food from Nick and Jake's. Love it. And certainly appreciate them. They've got a huge event coming up on Monday, Blue Hills Country Club, with the For the Kids golf tournament to support the For the Kids Foundation, F-O-R-E, thekidskc.com, or .org, I apologize, forthekidskc.org. It's where you can go and see about the event and the silent auction items and how you can get tickets to the dinner Monday night, which will have Bill Self and some KU basketball players that are national champions will be there as well. And all the money goes to Children's Mercy and to help out and continue to progress and build the anxiety and depression clinic at Children's Mercy and continue to have outreach around the city. So appreciate Nick and Jake's and the food today, filling the bellies. Appreciate that. Chris Jones apparently got the ref got his fill of Chris Jones talking on Sunday. Here's Todd Lebo in the locker room with Chris Jones.
Everything okay yesterday?
You're just all is good. All is good.
They haven't told us exactly, and after the game, you didn't remember what was said, whatever. Do you care what was said, what you said that was the line that that particular referee drew?
I think it's important for the game to for players to know what we can and can't say. I don't think I violated Rule 12, Section 3, Section Article 1C, to my understanding, but I think it's important that us as players, we know what's allowed and what can be said and what can't be said on the field, because if not, then a lot of more of those flags could possibly happen.
So do you have clarity now?
I still don't have no clarity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm quite sure the league would take a look at it. Hopefully they have the audio for that so they can explain to the fans. But I move forward. I move past it. Can't worry about that. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we got to go to. And our job, my job right now, is to get everyone to lock in. That's past us. That's a game we can learn from. We didn't win, most importantly. And put our best foot forward, making sure that we prepare for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
Chris, how do you process it? Because, you know, on one hand, you were surprised by it. On the other hand, it was called. And so what compartment do you put it all in?
It's one of those situations where, you know, after it's called, there's nothing really you can do about it. I was merely surprised by it all, you know. And my opinion on it is that give us a clear understanding of what we can and can't say. So I don't ever want to make that mistake again for this team. You know, I feel wholeheartedly that, you know, I put this team in a bad situation towards the end, and then reluctantly cost us the game.
Do you feel like it's something you've either said or heard before? I mean, you may not want to get that close to the specifics, I understand.
I don't remember. You're going to have to ask the referee. I'm still shocking. I still would like to know what I said in order to get clarification on
the
issue.
Is it the worst thing you've ever said on the field?
It was actually one of the nicest things. but you know, I would like to know what's allowed. I know the game is evolving, and that's a part of the game. You got to learn to adjust to it. So I'm adjusting, I'm learning, and, you know, for me, from the aspect of being a leader, it won't happen again.
On the Bucks, you guys are going to Tampa now. They just told
us
that.
Yeah, I realize.
Minnesota. So were you thinking about that at all? Did you care where you played them or what you were going to do?
It doesn't matter, but the only aspect of it is that, you know, Minnesota can get brutally cold at times, so you got to worry about what type of attire you would like to wear during the game. But most importantly is put the ball down. This defense is ready to play anywhere. We'll go outside and play on the concrete if we have to.
Chris, has too much time elapsed since the Super Bowl to still feel that as some motivation in this game?
I think that's very far-fetched when you think about it. You know, we had different circumstances. We was in a different situation when we actually went to Tampa and played the Super Bowl, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. We had a lot of tragedies towards the offensive line going into that game. So I think we have revamped offense, definitely revamped on defense, and we got a different mindset in this building right now. So I'm excited. I think it's a moment for everyone to get the back stigma out of the mouth and play against one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
You and Tom have had plenty of exchanges.
I would not exchange nothing with Tom, okay? I'm not getting no flags, okay? I don't know what is allowed, what is not allowed, so I'm not saying nothing. Oh, listen, it's going to be a clear game. I'm not saying anything.
At least that much is clear.
Huh? Yeah.
Just for next time. Minnesota's a dome now. You don't have to worry about what to wear.
Excuse me?
They got a dome in Minnesota now. You
don't
have to worry about it.
I'd rather play in Tampa anyway because of the grass fields.
Right.
You know, I'd have had a couple
of meniscus. You can wear whatever you want when you play in Minnesota next time. It'll be good.
Yeah, it's all good. Minnesota have a heck of a stadium, but I'd rather play on the grass.
You'll be there sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so there's Chris Jones. Still not a lot of clarification other than the fact that he still thinks it's BS because something that happens all the time on a field. And I love the question from Todd Lebo. Was it one of the worst things you've said on a football field? It was actually one of the nicest.
I think we got a little bit to this over the course of the week so far, but his point there is important.
Agreed.
If players don't know what it is that is going to get them in trouble, your policing no longer works.
Yeah.
If you get pulled over driving 65 in a 45, they don't pull you over and say, here's your ticket, goodbye. Because what if you didn't know what you're 20 over, you're 10 over, what if you're going 50 in a 45? Those things matter because that's the whole point of the enforcement of the rules. You don't see them throw a flag and say, penalty, number 95, defense. They say something like holding or taunting or harmful language or whatever it is. You have to be
giving
more
them the
specific
business
there, right? You can't just throw a flag and say, the offense did something wrong. 5-yard penalty, replay first down. That's not enough information. That's not doing your job well enough as a rule enforcer.
I love the analogy of the speed limit. The speed limit signs are never posted, but just know there is a speed limit on this road.
Good luck!
You don't know what it is, but there is one. You may or may not get, caught for speeding.
By the way, I've actually gotten more worked up about that part of this than I was on Sunday. That's gotten worse into the week for me.
The Rule 12, Section 3, Article 1C, the use of baiting or taunting acts or words that engender ill will between teams. That's what he said. He did not violate that, which is what the NFL said that he did violate, and that official said that he violated specifically Rule 12, Section 3, Article 1C.
We've got a Twitch commenter here that said, as much as Chris Jones says he's moved on, he was able to whip out the exact subsection of the rule book.
Yeah.
That is a great point, and I had to look up that exact subsection of the rule book to see what it said, and it's one sentence. That's it. Use of baiting or taunting acts or words that engender ill will between teams. There you go. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. Wrap up this hour next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
All right, 913-3810-810.
I call him Singy McSingerface.
Do you play album album thing? Let's go to Ben.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A little smoky chicken pasta. Some garlic bread. Some salad and some, carrot cake. I'm not sure. It's just my favorite. So don't anybody eat the carrot cake. It's a vegetable. You don't want a vegetable for dessert. Thank you to Nick and Jake's smoky chicken pasta. Enjoying that one. Josh.
I can't wait to eat this food, man. I'm staring at it and looking forward.
That's what I'm going
to
do right now.
To the end of this segment, which is fine. Because you go shove your face full of food. In fact, Beards, can you move some commercials around? This is really nice. Can we do like 25 minutes here of just kind of you and me just cutting it up?
Yeah, why not?
Feels good. Jason wouldn't complain either because Nick and Jake's is fully being consumed by Jason Anderson. The good news is I get to finally spotlight someone who I've wanted to talk more about this entire week. Going in the Chiefs Colts, I said if the Chiefs did not control that game, I'd have to start negative on the post-game show. Well, now here we are on Thursday, and I'm finally ready to give out a positive award from this game. We heard him earlier. Steve Spagnuolo and this entire Chiefs defense was so good against the Colts. that, yeah, at the end they had one more chance to stop them. They couldn't do it. They stopped them once, then the penalty, all of that. We've been there. And I want to give the Chiefs defense the award that they deserve. So Steve Spagnuolo and this Chiefs defense gets our Rubac Fine Jewelries. Who gets the ring? Presented, of course, by Rubac Fine Jewelry. I hope the Chiefs get plenty of jewelry of their own. They might have to wait till February, but if you're ready to get a little custom jewelry for a loved one, perhaps for an engagement ring, perhaps it's just the best holiday present in the world, you can do that at Rubac Fine Jewelry. You don't have to wait till February, even though the Chiefs might. Visit them online at rubac.co. That's where I went when it was time to get an engagement ring for fiance Renee. I didn't even know what that process was going to look like for me. I walked in, I talked to Hal, I made visits there 3 or 4 different times to get the process just right. It was an incredible process, an incredible result, and ultimately, I cannot recommend Rubac Fine Jewelry highly enough. Every single part of that process was incredible. They've been serving the Kansas City area for 100 years. Hal's been in the industry for over 40 years, and he's an incredible educator as well. So if you're going into this whole process not knowing where to start, not knowing where you want to end up at the end, do not let that make you hesitate now. Hal will be the one that gets you over that hump, hopefully like the Chiefs defense will continue to do for a better overall effort against the Bucks. You will not get a better overall effort anywhere in the jewelry industry, though, than you will at Rubac Fine Jewelry. They're by appointment only, and they're going to treat you like it as well, give you the time you need. Rubac.co, Rubac.co, to book your appointment today. Get in with Rubac. Custom engagement ring, incredible gifts, and other jewelry that they do. But the engagement ring process is what I went through. It was incredible. Actually, a little more incredible than the Chiefs defense was. The Chiefs defense almost as incredible as Rubac Fine Jewelry.
The performance from Rubac will be better than the performance in Sports or Leisure. I guarantee that.
That's definitely true.
Because that's coming up next. We got sports questions. We got leisure questions. We'll do that. 913-3810-810. Have a little fun finishing up this final hour of the show. Bengals Dolphins tonight. Tua is expected to play. He's expected to wobble his way to the field.
Waddle his way onto the field, at least. Could be a
part
hilly
of the
climb.
Part of the Kelsey podcast when they were having a little fun when they were starting to talk about Tua and joking about it. Then they eventually got serious. They threw in a Rocky, Adrian, and Kelsey goes, Waddle, Waddle. It's NFL players laughing about somebody and then going, no, but this is serious.
It was serious, folks.
Let's really get into how serious this is. Waddle!